Thank you very much, Brad. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for the opportunity of addressing you today, and thank you for being here. It's a great day today. It's a momentous day. The Federal Parliament, for the first time, has apologised for the pain and the suffering endured by the stolen generations. I was down at the Esplanade this morning, where the ceremony or the speech was beamed in for anybody who wanted to come along. And there were a lot of people there, a lot of Indigenous people, a lot of non-Indigenous people. Kevin Rudd's speech today was one of the greatest speeches I've ever heard, and I congratulate him on it. It's been a long time coming. And by the way, just in case you might be wondering, and I was asked this question by a journalist today, are you going to do the same thing in the State Parliament? We've done it. The West Australian Parliament, Jeff Gallop and Richard Court, working together, framed an apology and delivered that apology in the State Parliament of Western Australia 10 or 11 years ago. So it's good that the nation is catching up. But it's a powerful, powerful message to Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians that was delivered today. And now we can move forward. The federal government and the state government and all the people of Australia, Indigenous and non-Indigenous, can now move forward. And I look forward to that. Today I'm going to make an announcement, a major announcement, the effect of which will bring dramatic change to the city of Perth. It's more than an announcement, it's actually a commitment. We're making a commitment. And when I make commitments, they stay committed to. It'll represent yet another critical component of this incredible journey we have embarked upon here in Western Australia. Brad talked about one little sliver of what's happening, but it's a window into what's happening here in Western Australia. And I'm grateful for the remarks about the state government's role. We have embarked upon the rebuilding of the state of Western Australia, building for the future, putting in place the settings, the infrastructure that this state will need for generations to come, decades, not just short term. I committed to make things happen in this state, to take my opportunity to make things happen, to build the state. I think, and I'm hoping, that there is this growing sense of awareness of what I'm up to, what I'm intending, what I'm planning, what I want to do, and what we as a government want to achieve. And I think, I'm feeling, there is a growing sense of appreciation about what is happening here in Western Australia now. This period that we're living through, this epoch, which people will look back upon and marvel at, that this happened in Western Australia at this time. There is a dim sense of awareness in the other parts of Australia. Kevin Rudd has a pretty clear idea. We've had long discussions, and I'm hopeful now with the new federal government that there will be a new opportunity, new partnership. I hope that people see me as a premier who wants to lead a government that makes the big decisions and the decisions that are necessary in the long-term interests of the state, bold decisions. Not decisions that you're forced to and frightfully end up having to make, but the bold decisions. And long-term agenda, understanding what you need to do for the long term, dealing with all the things that come on a day-to-day basis, and they do come. They come to everybody on a day-to-day basis in our lives. You have to deal with them, otherwise you fall flat on your face. You have to deal with those things that come flying at you every day, but at the same time, you have to know where you're going. And people have to have an appreciation of where you're going. So we deal with the day-to-day issues, those things that you read about and see, and then we move on with the big agenda. Now look around, for those of you who are wondering, look around the state, the city of Perth, and see for yourself, with your own eyes, what's happening. Last week I made a speech. I laid out some of the things that we are doing as a state government. When I announced the go-ahead for the sports stadium, multifunction, multi-purpose sports stadium, $1.1 billion, and the museum, $500 million. Altogether, $1.6 billion for these two brilliant but critical new pieces of infrastructure. And I can say it, we're building WA. I will say it. I say it all the time. We're building WA. What are you doing with the boom? We're building WA. We're building in long-term prosperity, in our long-term agenda. And it's an agenda that goes way beyond the normal political aspiration, which is the next election. And I said it when I became the Premier. I want to do things which are long-term agendas. I do want to win the next election because that means I can continue with the agenda. And I think if you people understand that you do have this agenda, then they begin to appreciate, well, he's actually pitching out past politics, past that little hiccup out there called an election. It's an agenda which encompasses the entire economic, social and cultural landscape. It's not just about a building or a road, it's about everything that we do, how we do it, what opportunities we create. I'll give you one example, casting back to when we first got into government, and my role then was Education Minister. In 2001, when we came to government, the number of kids staying on at our schools was in decline, and no one seemed to care much, which I thought, apart from those in the system, and I thought that was unbelievable. That retention rate, shall we call it, had actually been going down for 8 years, and there was no sense of panic that we had a growing number of our children exiting education at the age of 15 and doing nothing. We had 30% youth unemployment, so they weren't rushing off to take up wonderful new career opportunities. There weren't any. The state's economy was not growing like it is now, it was shrinking. And marry up those two images. Kids flooding out of the education system at 15 years of age, which they still do in some of the other states, and no jobs, no training, no policy to address it either. It was, I said at the time, appalling policy neglect, the effect of which was to lock in, and everybody who understands this will know it's true, long-term social and economic disadvantage for those young kids and their families, and therefore, as you aggregate all that, for the community. And we're still paying for it. We'll pay for it forevermore, for that period of neglect. Everybody these days is talking about skill shortages. There was no effort to skill up the no effort to skill up young people in the 1990s in Western Australia. No policy effort. There wasn't a training policy. No growth in the number of apprenticeships and traineeships. So we set about to change it, and we did. Only the state government could do it. Individual enterprises, companies, they could make the effort. But on a grand scale, only a state government can do that. And we did it. We set about to do it. We changed the law. We changed the law through legislation. We raised the school leaving age, first from 15 to 16 and then 16 to 17. So this year, it's 17 in Western Australia. You can't drop out and do nothing anymore. So we made dramatic changes to make that work. We brought education and training together so kids could do combinations of school, TAFE, training and or employment as well. What we ruled out was doing nothing. You had to be skilled. The effort had to be there to skill and educate you. We changed the training system, partnered with business, who were on the front foot wanting it to happen, to promote apprenticeships and traineeships among our children and their parents. The first time for a very long time that any government had really done that, to try to tell people, well, it was good to have an apprenticeship or a traineeship. Skill shortages, they were coming. You could see them coming. You needed to adjust. The result has been an 80% increase in the number of people in training. That's apprentices and trainees. And a lot of them are in the old, what I described as the traditional trades. 80% increase. No other state matches that, I don't believe. So anyway, you see, long-term agenda. Government, which always had an eye for the long-term changes that were needed, the benefits for the long-term. There are big, big challenges that remain. All governments will always have big challenges. That's why you're there, to meet them. That's why you get out of bed and put your hand up. Because there are things that need to be done, and you get the opportunity, you think, I'll have a go, I'll do it. In Western Australia, reforming the health system, it's hard work. It is a big challenge. No one should underestimate the enormity of the task, and we're proceeding with it. There are changes that happen, difficulties arise, but the basic agenda is going ahead. Climate change, that desalination plant. When we made the decision to build that desalination plant, a lot of people thought we were crazy. What are you doing? We're actually running out of water because it had stopped raining. That's why we did it. We inherited a blank space. There was no policy. What were we going to do? Pray for it to rain. Housing affordability. This is a big challenge for us now. But we have to rise to meet the challenges. Work hard. Understand what needs to be done. And I think at last, I hope, in Canberra, we have a government which understands more the needs of this state and can partner us. rather than that age-old sense of conflict that we've been so used to. We have to set that aside. I think the phrase that Kevin Rudd today used was that infantile politics that bedevils this country. We have to put that aside. Stop undermining the states from the federal level for just pure political purposes. It doesn't serve anybody's interests. So we're growing, we're changing as a state and as a community. All of us. You all live here, you know what's happening. We all of us have a part and a role to play. I have my role, you have your role. Big, small, we all have a part to play in this. The pace at which we're growing makes meeting those challenges quite difficult in some regards. The pace is enormous. There's not a lot of appreciation of that outside of Western Australia. Let's look at how you mentioned our demography and our geography, and then think about the speed at which our economy is growing and what that means for our challenges. But we've put in place policies which I believe have made our economy stronger and more resilient, more robust. We're working to make it more robust, more diverse. And in this, we have unlimited potential in this state. Brilliant people, unlimited potential. There's no better and certainly no more visible demonstration of the transformation that is taking place than in our physical infrastructure agenda. I want to run through some of them. I'll do it briefly. We're rebuilding Rockingham, Kwinana and Armidale Kelmscott hospitals. We'll begin upgrading Joondalup this year. We'll begin, within the few years, Osborne Park Hospital, construction of the Midland Health Campus and the flagship Fiona Stanley Hospital at Murdoch. By the way, virtually every hospital from Geraldton to the north is being replaced or rebuilt or renewed. Here in the heart of our city, work is underway on the Perth Arena, an iconic building we anticipate for the city. It'll become our city's premier indoor entertainment and sport complex, 14,000 people. Nearby, the new Northbridge Theatre. It's amazing how many people don't even know we're building it. We're building a new theatre in Northbridge. It's a big investment, a focal point for the renewal of Northbridge and a landmark entertainment precinct for our city. It's actually under construction, as is Perth Arena. Then there's 140 William Street, the project there, the CBD Court project, the development of the Eastern Gateway to our city, and of course the two additions last week, our decision to build a new multi-purpose stadium at Kitchener Park, Subiaco. $1.1 billion, but a major long-term commitment to our state's future sporting and cultural needs. A stadium we anticipate befitting our city, serving the community for decades and decades to come. Decades. This is probably a once-in-a-hundred-year project. Historically, look at these sort of projects. They don't happen very often in cities, certainly not cities of our size. 60,000 fans initially. The capacity to expand to 70,000 in the future. I heard one gentleman on the radio last night suggesting it should be 150,000 to start with. Maybe we'll get there one day. Our vital state infrastructure that serves our community, drives our economy, makes WA a better place to live. The Capital Works program is awesome. It's about 32% of our state budget. It's billions and billions of dollars. Around the state, just a few. The Albany waterfront, the Bunbury Outer Harbour project, the Geraldton waterfront, linking the city to the sea, all undergoing huge changes with spectacular new waterfront precincts and all the major transport links that go with them. All of that economic infrastructure that's going on in the far north and all around our state, far too much to list. Towns like Broome and Port Hedland are also reaping the benefits, new roads, new hospitals, port expansions, and it's the same for our suburban centres. Midland, Armidale, Cockburn, Rockingham are hubs of activity and renewal. And our infrastructure effort is fueling private investment, which is great to see. Get in, put down the basic state infrastructure, and private investment comes in as well. We have the decision to build the stadium will continue to attract a lot of attention. That stadium will be able to cater for AFL, rugby, soccer, cricket, and whatever else needs a venue of that capacity, like a major international athletics event, for example. That museum will take advantage of the opportunity to transform one of the most recognisable heritage buildings, the East Perth Power Station. That $500 million price tag will mean that, like many of the best museums around the world, it'll become a destination in its own right. It won't be relying on opportunistic pedestrian traffic. People will go there because they want to go to the museum. It'll be a museum of the 21st century and not the 19th or 20th century, vital to the fabric of the city and a significant contributor to the cultural life of the state. So there's physical infrastructure happening. I love that. Carp's the builder. I was happy with that little line from the West Australian newspaper. Good. Carp's the builder. But it's great. It's a great thing to be doing. Our agenda is much bigger than developing the physical infrastructure on an unprecedented scale. It's also about investing in our people, in the human infrastructure of our state. I mentioned getting education and training right to ensure our young people are equipped with the skills required to meet the challenges of the modern economy. That's giving young people real choices, letting them make real choices about their career paths. They can undertake world-class research here. They can become scientists. They can become professionals. They can become whatever they want, whatever their capacity or potential allows them to be. They can be in the creative arts, dancers, singers, fashion designers, whatever. We just need to help them. So our effort is about creating vibrant and active suburbs and, importantly, a vibrant city centre with interesting things to do and see. Science and innovation. All great societies, you look at history, all great societies, yes, they build things. They invest heavily in the science and in the arts. Science and innovation, science and innovation. We are investing heavily, and something I feel very strongly about, because I see there in there great benefit to the state in the longer term. We've got brilliant minds here, Nobel Prize winners. Nobel Prize winners coming out of the public health system in Western Australia. Australians of the Year, pioneers and leaders of their respective fields. So there's this talent pool. It's all out there. The challenge is to allow that potential to be realised and to then harness it for the bigger good, to build our reputation and skills across science and innovation. We invested more than $220 million in our science and innovation strategy. Brilliant research infrastructure, outstanding science leadership, strategic industry facilities that are the envy of the nation. Our focus has been and will be to fund major research facilities that leverage funding from outside Western Australia and bring international experts here. Never mind that people will go away. People will go away. I went away. I came back. We will bring people here. We are bringing people here. This is the centre. The West Australian Energy Research Alliance, building on our traditional strengths in the resources sector, to become a global centre for oil and gas research and development. The Western Australian Maritime Institute, a $100 million institute using science to study and protect our marine life. The Food Genome Centre, world-class research using biotechnology, agriculture and food technology to find new ways of beating diabetes and obesity. The new Australian Centre of Excellence in Water Desalination to address our climate change challenges and help those who aren't as advanced as us address theirs. We're expanding the Bentley Technology Park to give our innovators and their ideas more room and more support. And on top of all these initiatives, the state government agencies, just as they go about their daily business, are spending $100 million or more delivering applied science that underpins our new key industries and social infrastructure, including agriculture, mining, oil, gas, the environment and health. And finally, at a more individualised level, we're recognising that wonderful work of our many scientists by increasing the prize money for our Scientist of the Year award to $100,000. Our scientists deserve it. It's the richest award of its kind in Australia, but they deserve it. It's not the money, but the quantum says something about how we feel, and that we're prepared to support them. And so we are prepared to support as well people in the arts, the creative industries, our local music, theatre, dance, fashion. They're out there setting the pace, those people. We've got many examples of individual brilliance and so much more potential, all of it just waiting, needing a little bit of support, a little bit of spark, hence the Ignite package. The single biggest ever funding boost to West Australian cultural and creative industries. I announced it in December last year. It was a great day. I love doing it because it says something about the state and how we view the creative industries and what we can expect from them. That $73 million was over and above the $160 million already budgeted and will provide unprecedented support for our most creative people. Better facilities, greater reward and recognition, more and better performance, space and production. So many different components. The package was very well received. A prestigious international competition to build two major sculptural works in the city, hence the picture. Australia's richest Indigenous art award, fittingly. here in Western Australia. Australia's richest literature prize, the Premier's Australia Asia Literary Award. A major production fund, $5 million, to enable WA artists and companies to think big and create exciting new works. More funding to our Screen West to help develop local television and film production industries. More funding to allow the opera, the ballet and the symphony to widen their repertoire and stage more performances. A new capital grants fund to help upgrade the theatres and other facilities all around the state. And the centrepiece, $15 million for a new legacy fund for the West Australian Art Gallery. Tiny little bit of money they had available to build their collection. We said we'll give $10 million, the expectation that $10 million will be matched from the private sector. And we believe it will. So when 10 becomes 20, we'll put in another 5 and we'll keep going like that. So you've suddenly got this enormous capacity to build the collection. Local, Indigenous, non-Indigenous art, renowned contemporary work. All these measures can stand alone as separate and exciting initiatives for Western Australia, which we see improving our life, our culture, into the future. They represent a massive boost. We hope they'll make our city and our state more interesting, a better place to live, more opportunities. All of this means, of course, our city here of Perth is undergoing dramatic transformation. It is. 10 to 15 years, you'll still be able to recognise it, but you'll be saying, oh, I remember when that used to be, or there was that building over a few years ago that's gone now and look what's in its place. We're building a modern, vibrant, world-class capital city with world-class cultural, sporting and tourism facilities, a city that has more to offer, more than just something to see, also an experience. It has to have an experience inside the landscape, which is why our creative industries are so important. But there are some other pretty basic things as well. Retail trading hours. I could tell a story here. Retail trading hours. Yes, they are too restrictive. Yes, we did try to change them. Yes, we will change them, given the chance. I want them to change, just like we changed our very restrictive liquor licensing laws. It wasn't easy. We did it. We battled the vested interests both inside and outside the parliament. And those changes, those liquor licensing laws, have already had a major effect. We now have a better system to establish small bars, as well as enabling every cafe and restaurant to serve alcohol without food, effectively turning every cafe into a small bar, should they so desire. Already we've had 60 small bar licence venues approved. 60 small licence venues approved, sorry, including 9 small bars. Bearing in mind, there's only a matter of months. Another 36 applications are currently being assessed. And I thank particularly Lisa Scafidi in the City of Perth for working so collaboratively with us. I like Lisa. It's quite interesting now that we are going through this period of transition. We have a mayor and a City of Perth which can offer, has the opportunity to offer so much and wants to. So, I said at the beginning of my speech that I was going to make an announcement today, a major announcement. I'm going to make 2, in fact. I want to detail our latest plans to give this city more life and more vitality, to make it a far more attractive place to live and visit. And bear in mind the economy that we are living in, the time that we are living in. We have to be able to look back and say they did that when they had the chance. They didn't miss the chance. The transformation's already started. I've gone through that. We're doing an enormous amount already. The new railway, and Alana McTiernan is here. What an incredible project. Cult status to the minister because of that amazing achievement of that railway. Against all the criticism, all the cynics, did the right thing. That will be providing benefit for 100 years. I'll catch the train. Also drive down the freeway and there's less traffic. Thanks, Alana. Much better. But we link now to Mandurah. We announced the feasibility of extending our train service, a very fast train, to Bunbury. Bunbury. It will happen. We have to figure out the best way and the time frame. It wouldn't have happened, or it would have been so much more difficult if not for what Alana achieved with the railway. And it's paid for. Paid for. No debt. The new railway, together with the 2 new underground rail stations, create great opportunity. They bring a new lease of life to that area of the city. The railway has connected the community in our southern suburbs to the Wellington, William Street area and the Esplanade precincts. On top of the William Street station, we're building the new tower, 140 William Street, providing new office space, new shops, new entertainment venues. It'll revive that part of town. Still within that precinct, though, between Wellington Street and Northbridge, where we're building the Perth Arena, special attention here. Perth Arena, 14,000-seat concert and entertainment venue, spectacular visually, a magnet to the community. But it can't stand there on its own. We've seen the mistake of putting a big infrastructure thing, hoping it'll work, sitting there on its own, another part of the city. We've learned from that. It can't stand in isolation. At the moment, right next to the Perth Arena, we have a derelict and run-down old entertainment centre site. In fact, that whole area is run down. It's a blight on the city, and we're going to do something about it. Perth Arena, obviously, big component of that. Today I'm committing the funds for the work needed to create a genuine forecourt to the Perth Arena, upgrade of Wellington and Millington streets, and to create a road transport link that will allow the long-awaited development of the old entertainment centre site. It will also open up for development a parcel of land that separates the Perth Arena and the old entertainment centre, which we hope will become a new hotel for Perth. From the state government point of view, it's a surprisingly small amount of money. Perth Arena is not. It's a big amount of money. You're talking several hundreds of millions of dollars. The next part of the infrastructure, which then liberates the rest of the site, $9 million, unlocks a large area for redevelopment. Incorporating the Perth Arena, this effectively constitutes stages 1 and 2 of the North Bridge Link proposal. Most importantly, this converts a former, current as well, derelict wasteland into one of the great focal points of our city. And the project will begin in 2008-09, the coming financial year, and is expected to be completed in 2012. It allows the private development of the Perth Entertainment Centre site. I've spoken to the owner. He wants to be able to get ahead. He will be able to. Those people who find the work at Perth Arena disturbing, I apologise. It will continue. You have to think beyond yourself sometimes. The timing of the development will depend on that owner's decision, but could include cafes, bars, shops and offices with at least one hotel and residential accommodation for more than 1,500 people right there in the heart of the city. The public open spaces will be outstanding and particular attention will be paid to creating high-quality streetscapes. Sinking the railway line remains an ambition, don't worry, but there's only so much you can do at one time. There's only so many things that you can do in one time. You have to space these and stage them, and people have to understand that they take time and some things need to be progressed in stages. So, now to the second announcement. It's the one that people have been waiting years and years to hear in Western Australia. Yes, we are going ahead with the complete transformation of the Perth waterfront. The Perth waterfront project. Thank you. I've learned a trick or two in politics. Let me repeat that. It's worth saying at least twice. We are going ahead with the complete transformation of the Perth waterfront. The Perth waterfront project is a goer at last. Our city deserves a world-class waterfront precinct. A precinct that's interesting, bustling, alive, focal point. That's what we're going to get. And more importantly, our city needs to develop the waterfront. The river is our greatest natural asset here. It's time we embraced it, as other cities have embraced their own rivers. We want a place where we can take our international visitors and showcase what our city and state is about. The Swan River is about to make a comeback. Today we are committing to the redevelopment of the foreshore and releasing our preferred design for public comment. Importantly, though, hear the words, we are committing to go ahead here. As you can see from the images, the overall conceptual design is quite spectacular. The design will reorient the city towards the waterfront and bring major new activity to the foreshore. And it's a tribute to the consortium of creators headed by national firm Ashton, Raggett, McDougall. Thank you. I think anyone looking at the pictures will see that it has great potential to create an exciting tourism and entertainment district. The first stage of the project will transform the esplanade and the waterfront between William Street and Barrack Square. The key feature of the design, as you can see here, is generous, well-designed public spaces with unrestricted access to the riverfront. And the big pink dog, I think, is optional. For balloon blowers. There are two major public spaces here. The first is Esplanade Square. The square is designed to connect, capture and enhance the bustle of the city, bringing it to the river. While the second major public space, Esplanade Circle, is about the beauty of the river. The island, you can see, inside the circle is in the shape of a swan. Together the square and the 500 metre circumference circle, which is about the size of the Wacker if you need some perspective, will give the best of the river and city experiences in the same place. Getting there will be easy, with not only public transport available via the existing bus port and ferry terminal, but also now that new railway station, Esplanade Station. It's right there. People tumble out of that every day, right now. A much-enhanced Supreme Court Gardens will be extended eastward towards the Perth Concert Hall, providing a larger space for major public events. Now, stage two of the development will encompass the stretch... Two stages, remember, stage one. Stage two will encompass the stretch of land that runs west of William Street around to the Narrows Bridge. And if you can imagine, it's currently marked by the big flagpole. If you're at the opening of the festival the other night, the Perth International Festival, you were probably sitting on that site. This will offer a mixture of hotels, apartments, offices, restaurants, cafes, linked by footpaths and bike lanes along Mounts Bay Road.
Now,
I'm sure the design, striking design, will generate a lot of discussion. People will be talking about it. And that's the way it should be. That's why we'll seek public feedback. And I'm very confident that that public feedback will be positive. But let's be clear, we are committed to the project. A new Esplanade Square, the Esplanade Circle, and an expanded Supreme Court Gardens. What you see there, that image, is the development minus the buildings. That's the basic civil engineering components there. What you see is what the government will deliver. Straight into that. We are committed to develop near the water's edge. We will develop near the water's edge. There will be lots of commentary on the look of some of the buildings that will go there. Buildings will go there. The exact height, number and design of the high-rise buildings you've seen in the images will be subject to consultation and feedback and an approvals process. The timing of their construction will depend on private sector interest. I've got a feeling there'll be a lot of interest. Planning for the waterfront project will begin immediately. Planning for the waterfront project will begin immediately. It's expected that major works for stage one will commence during 2011-12, completion scheduled 2015. This is a big project. Big projects need to be done properly, and you need to do the planning and the preparatory work properly, and we will. The total cost of stage one is estimated to be around $300 million. The state government's contribution is expected to be recouped through land sales. The next 5 to 10 years in this state and in this city will be momentous in our development and our progress. Our agenda is long-term. It goes out at least to that point and beyond. Planning for the next generation, not the next election. We are changing Western Australia, and we're changing it for the better. I want to be, and I've said this before, I want to be a Premier who leads a government which achieves great things for the state. Great things that will benefit our state for generations to come, for a long time into the future. The opportunity is there. You've heard about the dynamics of the economy. The opportunity is there for us to do these big things, huge projects, enact a long-term agenda. We need time. I need time. You can't do this in the blink of an eye. You need longevity. I need the time to deliver. But these projects are worth delivering. They're really very exciting projects. I also need good people with me, and I've got some. We've got some good people. We need the overwhelming majority of the state to say, yes, that's the right thing to be doing. I think we'll get that. There's something in it for everybody. There's something in this for all of us. We're going through this amazing transformation, metamorphosis. Western Australia is becoming something different, bigger, better. I need the time to deliver that. We're only at the beginning. We've only just begun. Thank you very much. Thank you.